I wanted to talk about what Wellens syndrome is and what it is not. In order to do this, it's important to first review the normal sequential evolution of ECG changes that occur with acute coronary occlusion. The onset of acute coronary occlusion is often marked by development of hyperacute T waves, that is, T waves that become taller, fatter at their peak, and wider at their base compared to the normal T wave appearance. These hyperacute T waves go on to evolve into acute ST elevation in those ECG leads that overlie the area of infarction, usually with reciprocal ST segment depression being seen in one or more of the remaining lead areas. Following acute occlusion of a major coronary artery, there may be reopening with reperfusion of the culprit artery. This reperfusion may be the result of treatment by PCI, percutaneous coronary intervention. It may be the result of thrombolytic therapy, or it may occur spontaneously. Not commonly appreciated is that some patients have a stuttering course for their infarction, in which the culprit artery may close, but then spontaneously reopen, either to stay open or to once again reocclude, sometimes opening and closing spontaneously a number of times until finally remaining either open or closed. This explains a phenomenon that may occasionally be seen, in which the patient has chest pain, which is accompanied by ST elevation, but within minutes, the chest pain and ST elevation spontaneously and completely resolve. If the period of complete coronary occlusion is brief enough, there may be no lasting cardiac damage, and troponin might not even be elevated. The only way we can sometimes confirm that a brief period of complete coronary occlusion did occur is by development of reperfusion changes on ECG. That is, development of deepening T-wave inversion in those lead areas that showed ST elevation while the patient had chest pain. Key point: the sequence of events that I just described is essentially what happens with Wellens syndrome. The patient reports a recent episode of chest pain that spontaneously resolved. By the time the ECG is obtained, there is that characteristic steep downsloping of the T-wave with terminal negativity that may be shallow or deep in one or more of the anterior leads. What happened was that the proximal left anterior descending coronary artery was briefly occluded, but the LAD then spontaneously reopened before significant cardiac damage could occur. So, by the time we are looking at the ECG, there are no infarction Q waves, troponin is no more than minimally elevated, and there is no more than minimal, if any, ST elevation in those anterior leads that show the characteristic T-wave deepening of coronary reperfusion. Clinically, the importance of recognizing the sequence of events that I have just described is that with a high degree of specificity, this identifies a patient who almost certainly has a tight proximal LAD lesion. The problem is that this tight LAD stenosis that had been completely occluded for a brief period of time before spontaneously reopening is at high risk of spontaneously closing again unless something is done to prevent reocclusion. So the purpose of promptly recognizing Wellens syndrome is that cardiac cath much sooner rather than later is indicated, with probable need for more permanent reperfusion for this patient who almost certainly has a tight proximal LAD lesion at high risk for reocclusion unless something more permanent is done. Point number one, the history is an essential part of the diagnosis of Wellens syndrome. There should be a history of recent chest pain that has resolved at the time that the diagnostic ECG is recorded. Obtaining this history from the patient of recent now resolved chest pain reduces the chance of confusing Wellens syndrome with other entities that might produce T-wave inversion. Point number two relates to the characteristic shape of the T-wave inversion seen with Wellens syndrome. Two ECG patterns of T-wave inversion have been described. Many clinicians interpret the pattern of deep symmetric anterior T-wave inversion as one expression of Wellens syndrome. I feel this is a mistake because there are several other causes of this ECG finding, and Wellens syndrome is only one of them. Symmetric chest lead T-wave inversion may be seen with milder, non-critical coronary disease without a tight proximal LAD narrowing. It may be seen with severe LVH and with apical or hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and it may also be seen with non-cardiac causes such as CNS bleed, coma, or following a seizure. In contrast, with the right clinical history, the finding of slight anterior ST elevation, but without anterior Q waves, with a distinct ECG pattern in one or more of the anterior leads of steep T wave downsloping that leads to terminal negativity, is far more specific for predicting a tight proximal LAD narrowing on cath. Point number three. The diagnosis of Wellens syndrome depends on recognizing a critical proximal LAD stenosis before significant infarction has occurred. If on the ECG there are already anterior Q waves or anterior QS complexes that indicate infarction, then you are too late because anterior infarction has already occurred, which leads me to emphasize what Wellens syndrome is not. Wellens syndrome is not post-infarction reperfusion T waves in a patient with newly established Q waves and marked troponin elevation. Remember that Wellens T waves in reality reflect spontaneous reperfusion that follows a very brief period of coronary artery occlusion. But if the period of total coronary occlusion is longer and definite myocardial infarction has occurred, then you will often see T wave inversion that looks identical to the pattern of Wellens T waves. I'll conclude with two caveats. Significant LVH on ECG to the point that you see ST-T wave repolarization changes of LV strain is notorious for simulating a T wave picture that may easily be mistaken for Wellens T waves. Therefore, use caution if considering a diagnosis of Wellens syndrome when the ECG shows marked LVH. Finally, repolarization variants that are commonly seen in otherwise healthy young adults may simulate the shape of Wellens ST-T wave changes, with coving and sometimes slight elevation of the ST segment, followed by T-wave inversion that may be shallow or sometimes surprisingly deep. ECG findings that favor a repolarization variant as the cause of this ECG picture include a non-cardiac history in an otherwise healthy younger adult who manifests a normal, if not relatively shorter, QT interval with increased QRS amplitudes, often with taller than expected anterior R waves, and with more generalized repolarization findings, but without reciprocal ST depression. That said, distinction from Wellens syndrome in a patient with a concerning history can at times be challenging. In summary, the beauty of Wellens syndrome is that when criteria for the diagnosis are met, the syndrome provides one of those few instances in which a particular ECG pattern strongly correlates with coronary anatomy, in that it is highly predictive of a critical narrowing in the proximal LAD, for which prompt cath, followed by coronary revascularization, may prevent a large anterior infarction from occurring.